In today's lesson, we turn to Luke chapter 14. On this occasion, Jesus attended a Sabbath meal in the house of a prominent Pharisee. Luke records how the Pharisees were very closely watching Jesus' every move, really scrutinizing him to see what he would do. Well, Jesus surely captured their attention when he healed a diseased man, even though it was the Sabbath day. His question to them about whether any one of them would rescue a child or even an animal out of a well on a Sabbath day left them unable to object to his actions. Yes, they were watching Jesus, but Jesus also was watching them. And the things he observed about their behavior provided the occasion for three parables. So there are two things that these three parables share in common, and we want to pay attention to these as we engage in this brief discussion. First, all three of these parables are about feasting, about attending a dinner or a meal. And second, all three of these parables in some way emphasize the importance of humility, or of a willingness to empty oneself. So as Jesus watched the guests at this particular feast, he noticed how they scrambled for the most prominent seats. So because of that, he spoke the first of these three parables. Reading in Luke 14, beginning in verse 8, Jesus said, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this man,' and then in disgrace you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher,' and then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Well, the customs that were observed at dinners really formed the background of this incident and this first parable that Jesus tells on this occasion. At these dinners, people reclined on low couches beside the tables, and the tables themselves were U-shaped. So the head of the table was reserved for the most honored guests, and then on either side were placed those who were next in importance, and so on, in a kind of a descending order of importance. So you can imagine that, and as Jesus watches the Pharisees as they come in, maneuvering around the table for the places of honor. And so Jesus told this parable to them as a rebuke and a warning, not just of their table manners, if you will, but really to point to a more serious spiritual condition. You see, their values were distorted by their greed and selfishness. And Jesus warns them then that this kind of self-exaltation would lead to a debasing end. But if they would have a humble spirit, it would in the end bring them honor. It is a powerful lesson on the need for humility. And indeed, the principle of humility is an essential part of the Christian's character as taught in the New Testament. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Those were Jesus' words as he concludes this parable, and they're found in principle many times in Scripture. In Philippians 2, for example, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul urges Christians, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." And James also, in James chapter 4, verse 10, says simply, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." So Jesus undoubtedly noticed that this kind of behavior was taking place, but he also noticed that the host of the dinner had mostly invited his friends and other prominent people like himself to his dinner. So Jesus' second parable here was an exhortation and a warning to them. So let's continue the reading in verse 12. Jesus went on to say to the one who invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So here Jesus urges these people to move beyond their close circle of associates and to be humble enough to reach out to those who in their need would be unable to reciprocate. The greater blessing Jesus is teaching will come from inviting those who are unable to return the favor. And so he says, "You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Well, these were probably hard words for the host to hear, not to mention the guests who were there. These were hard words. And then all of a sudden, breaking the silence of what must have been a tense moment, one of the guests exclaims in verse 15, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Eating bread in the kingdom of God. So then Jesus responds with a third parable. Now verse 16, Jesus said to him, "A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I've married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' So the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' Well, then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" Well, in Scripture, Jesus often compares his kingdom to a great sumptuous banquet, as depicted here in this story. In fact, the Jews believed that at the resurrection of the just and the setting up of the kingdom of God, all of them would be invited to sit down and partake of a great feast. And we think of a feast, of course. A feast is a very festive and joyous occasion, isn't it? And I think we need to remember as we read this story that Jesus never wanted us to think of his kingdom as a dreary, gloomy, sad, burdensome kind of affair. He does not call on us to denounce every joy and pleasure of life. His mission was to bring the good news of the kingdom. His kingdom is a kingdom of grace and of joy. It's not a joy of bodily dissipation and sensuous living, but it is a spiritual and heavenly joy. It's the joy of God's favor, redemption from sin, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the saints, and the peace of God that surpasses understanding. We would expect that anyone invited to such a great feast would make absolutely certain that they would not miss such an opportunity. Indeed, those attending the feast with Jesus that day made it a priority, it seems. They considered it an honor to be invited, and they took advantage of the chance to see and be seen, even as they picked out the places of honor at the table. And yet, remarkably, in this parable, we have a picture of people being invited who begin to make their excuses and to decline the great invitation that has been extended to them. "I've bought a field," one says, showing his preoccupation with his possessions. I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, says another, showing his care and anxiety over business and over work. And then a third one says, I've married a wife. He was concerned for earthly ties and family relationships. These are the kinds of things that we often are concerned about. And yet it's important to recognize that none of those things that kept the guests away is in itself sinful. It was not lawful or unlawful to have any of those things. But here's the seriousness of the warning implied in the parable. All these things become sinful when they come to have first place in the heart. When we give undue affection to earthly matters, affection that causes us to put the Lord second in our lives, we'll find ourselves ultimately excluded from His great feast. And these were ultimately only excuses, we realize, and yet they made them. They would not come. And the reason is because of their rejection of the host himself. Like the guest who spoke up, men often admire the ideal. They like the notion of the kingdom. They like the idea, but in spite of their admiration of it, they often refuse to enter in. The kingdom of God is a gift of grace. The host says that none of those who were bidden shall eat of my supper. Why? It's because they have refused. Their own refusal is the reason of their being excluded. So the invitation was offered to others in the parable. Bring in the poor. There's still room. Go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Well, of course, we know that the situation in the parable vividly describes the nation of Israel. Think about the people who were there at the feast, at the meal, on the occasion when Jesus tells these three stories. Even though they knew the prophecies of the promised Messiah, they rejected Him, and thus they will not sit at His table. Others will be invited. The broader application, of course, is that God wants His house to be full. He is abundant in mercy, and He wants all to come to repentance that they may be saved. Christ has sent His messengers into the world to invite all men to come in. Compel them, the parable says. Compel, that means moral compulsion. It is that strong, earnest exhortation that the Lord's disciples address to men when they themselves are deeply convinced of the importance of their message and of the great blessings it can bring. Yes, we as His disciples need to be striving to compel people to come in, to tell them the good news, explain to them how wonderful it is and what a privilege it is to be invited to the Lord's kingdom. It's not, however, a compulsion against their will. They must be willing to come. It is to compel, that is to constrain by words and by entreaties and by persuasion and by all kinds of demonstrations of love and concern. Men are compelled when the word is preached, when their consciences are pricked, and when they are driven to Jesus Christ as their only refuge. So Jesus continues to extend His invitation. Like the old hymn that we sing, all things are ready, come to the feast. Thank you for listening again today.